Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, namaste, guys! Namaste! She's here! It's Linda Bleeding Pollock! You know what, Linda has turned up in a khaki shirt. Not that.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, we leopards on.
A safari. Mm. A safari one. It's lovely. It's got leopards
on. You've
got
one similar, haven't you?
What's that?
Have you not got some animal print going? You should get some.
No, I don't think that's an animal print. That's just where I've spilt some of my dinner down. It looks like a snake. Safari. It's like a big yolky dried egg snake.
It's a dinner medal, that.
It's a dinner medal, of course it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Linda was just telling me, what's something to do with your lawn?
I've got lawn guilt, yeah. I've realised I'm that neighbour in the street. Everyone else has been up and down.
Right.
With the lawn mower. And I've been holding off because it's a bit wet, isn't it? And I don't want to chew up the lawn.
No.
Is the story I tell myself. But actually, I'm just a lazy cow.
Now, that is the issue, isn't it, Linda? That we are talking about going out for the first time this spring and doing your lawn. Those people are too stingy to put their bloody hands in their pockets. By the time they get this, it'll be nearly autumn now. They won't remember any of this stuff, will they?
Their lawns will be covered in snow by the time they hear this.
By the time they hear this. But no, we are just enjoying the first fruits of spring, aren't we, Milo? I tell you what I've often thought about doing. Cultivating our lawn here, the communal lawn at the flats here, for crops.
What kind of crops you think?
Something to keep us all alive. I'll tell you why, this is another thing, we've just had, you know, the alarm that went off?
Yeah.
That was yesterday.
Hey, there were 4 of us together in that room and only 3 phones went off. So some people, I think, might be sacrificed for the greater good.
Do you people who have too stingy to put your hands in your pockets remember what we're talking about? This is back to the depths of time, isn't it? We're talking about the alarm that went off on everyone's phones. Because that's where we are. That's where we are, people. Which 4 people were you? You don't know 4 people, do you?
4 people with 4 friends growing up.
4 friends? What happened to friends? Oh, Christ, friends.
Yeah. And we were all waiting, anticipating, and salivating for this thing to go off, thinking, oh, this is... No, we were not.
I don't even know why I said that.
I do, because you're a dirty sod.
I am. Hold on.
Oh, whoa, 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 what's going on up there?
I think we know what's going on up there, around your place. Go on.
Just having a nice chat, but we thought we'd hang on and wait and see when this thing went off. And for only 3 of us did that happen. 1 did not. And we did wonder why him, why he was the one that was left out.
Is that person known as a troublemaker who the government don't care if
the
dies in an emergency?
Delightful, smiley, rosy-cheeked person you're ever going to meet in your life?
Well, I don't know 4 people to hang around with. I know you and Ruth, that's about it. So, isn't that lovely, knowing 4 people?
Yeah.
No, what I was going to say, I want to cultivate the lawn here, mainly because since COVID, I've been slightly like the old tin hat on, thinking about Armageddon happening.
Do you know what I've got in my garage still, post-COVID? I got rid of the bread mix, because that's gone off.
Yeah.
But I have got the makings of soap making kits, because I was making my own soap. You couldn't get soap for anything, and we thought it was going to save our lives, remember?
Really?
Yeah,
well,
washing our hands like silly buggers.
That's right. Oh, soap making kit. What is that, a couple of dead whales or something?
No, you can buy the makings, and I was making my own soap, so I was putting my own perfumes in. It was quite a delightful waste of time, but we had nothing but time back then, didn't we?
Do you know what I did when that first happened, the old COVID? Do you know what I did? I went to B&Q and bought a bloody great big lock, like a bolt for my door. I was so convinced...
For the bunker?
No, I was convinced that ne'er-do-wells were going to come in and try and nick me turkey burgers, you know, that in the freezer and all that, and try and raid my...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, terrible.
So you're virtually like one of them doomsday preppers. If you
I
could have got
bit,
a shotgun,
yeah.
You would have got one.
Well, absolutely. I was convinced, and I'm not convinced that won't happen again.
No.
Especially now the government are giving us sort of special warnings.
I do think it's a little bit dodgy when they start going, oh, just no reason, but we're just going to try this out.
Yeah, we're just delivering every household a hazmat suit. No, don't worry, no reason. That's all right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Could be, couldn't
what
it?
What do those bastards know?
Yeah, they know something. And by the time you hear this...
You'll have found out.
You'll have found out. Probably great mushroom cloud. And all you've got advising you is nothing official from the government. It's just this poxy podcast of us talking about ghosts. You want to chuck this away and listen to some official government warnings. Never mind this bollocks.
There's probably more truth here, to be honest.
Yeah, there's more truth. Well, there is the truth. There's the truth that I understand, and your rather suburban, limited truth. That is the truth of that. Ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to tell you that I have been reading the Daily Mail online.
Oh!
I know, it's bloody disgusting.
You are a shit.
And this story appeared on it. I died after being struck down by sepsis. Angels took me to a really unexpected place. Can you put on the spooky, bloody music, please, Linda?
Yeah.
David Hansel, 57, said he was guided by two beings to a heavenly pub. He went to the pub. The self-proclaimed ghost whisperer claimed he knew he was going to die.
A lot of bold claims there. What happens to us when we die is one question many of us are desperate to know the answer to.
Well, I do know about it because I've been there and come back.
Quoth the male. Now, a 57-year-old man has shared his own captivating experience with the afterlife, during which he claims he was taken to a pub by angels.
Right.
David Hansel spent 2 months in a coma after suffering pneumonia and sepsis in September 2015. Here we go. The self-proclaimed spiritual medium who lives in North Carolina claimed he knew he was going to die early. He told how he flatlined and described... Flatlining is bullshit, by the way.
Turn the music off. What do you mean?
You only flatline...
Dr. Bloody Doogie Howser.
I've watched enough QI to know this one. You only flatline if someone kicks the plug out. That's nothing to do with it. That's not it.
But when it goes... Ooh.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
I have... Just a minute. I have flatlined.
Have you?
I was in the hospital, bent over, nothing underneath my tunic, having something removed. It was a kidney stone, and I flatlined, right?
Yeah.
Immediately, thoughts come into my mind, right? This is true. Sitting on my dad's lap as a toddler.
Yeah.
I remember giving me 3 pieces of advice. Get yourself a loving wife.
Yeah.
Never buy an endowment mortgage.
Yeah.
Something about immigration that escapes me now. I remember... being a teenage boy. People said I was a real lady killer. That was never proven.
Oh.
That she was unconscious when I found her. But the point is, I've done it. What do you mean when the bloody plug is kicked out?
It just means that there's no input. Doesn't mean that there's no... It doesn't mean that someone's... Doo. It doesn't happen like that.
Well, when you die, it goes... Doo.
No.
If it's not going... Doo.
Anyway, so he told
Sorry,
how he
put the
flatlined.
Music back on again. If you can put the find the plug, stick that fucking thing back in again. Go on.
He told how he flatlined and described himself as being, quote-unquote, dead, although patients in comas are still technically alive. You see, first inconsistency there.
Yes.
The ghost whisperer claimed he closed his eyes and when he opened them again, he was in the night sky. He's from Carolina. And was eventually guided to a nearby pub. They don't even have pubs in Carolina.
No, we're pub bar. Oh. Look at this. I'm going to show you now a picture, which I will make sure is posted up, of the man. That's...
Oh.
is an AI photograph,
oh,
isn't
right.
it?
Yeah.
That's never a proper-looking man.
I know enough about filters, being a young woman.
A filter.
A youngish woman, an older, younger woman on the internet. That
right.
is a... That's filtered to buggery.
It's filtered to buggery. Anyway, he told the Daily Star, I just remember closing my eyes because I was sick. And then when I opened my eyes back up, I was in the night sky. It was the most beautiful, velvety, silky night sky. No clouds, no stars, no nothing. And there wasn't a beginning or end to it. Mr. Hansel said he was aware of two beings, one another on either side of him, who felt familiar and helped him navigate his new environment. Get this. They showed him the most beautiful golden white light surrounded by angels, and everything was travelling towards it. Then... Mr. Hansel claimed the angels took him to a pub which had beautiful coloured bottles but no alcohol. Now, we've
dealt... What a nightmare.
No, we've dealt with that before. You know that. That is what happens up there.
Well, they let you have the idea of drinking, but of course you don't need that stuff anymore.
Well, I've got to say, I'm trying to think, where could he have been?
Yeah.
I'm wondering whether it's a Wetherspoons. You get... hear me out. You do get a lot of different coloured glass. Not necessarily bottles, but they often use that sort of stained glass look at a Wetherspoons. The one in Wolverhampton, that also not much alcohol served there. After match day, I can't get a drink there, can't get up to the bar. I reckon he's at the Wetherspoons in Wolverhampton. It says here, after leaving the pub, Mr. Hansel walked up the side of a big white building made of marble. If you go to the Wetherspoons in Wolverhampton, over the road is the Grand Theatre.
Wow.
It's a white building. I'm suggesting he got transported to the Wolverhampton Wetherspoons.
Gosh. Is this heaven? No, it's Wolverhampton.
Don't laugh at their accent. Sorry to all our friends in the West Midlands there. She's something of a snob, Linda.
I bloody am not. I just love an accent. The thing is, right, I think that would be delicious. That would be... If the universe does have a sense of humour...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd much rather go there than that shitty place that Sandria Mosses talks about, which is like Centre Parks, but where everything's already booked up.
Yeah, one that was a bit like Torquay, wasn't it?
Yes.
I've been to Torquay. It's no heaven. And I took the trouble looking up, you know, what if you were in the heaven of Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
At the Grand Theatre, there's a Shania Twain tribute act, which ironically, you have to kill me to get me into the theatre to see that. Music, please.
Oh.
Thank you. Read that then, go.
But he claims his steps were effortless and he felt like he was floating. Oh, he'd have one of them Long Island iced teas.
Probably.
That's what happened.
That's it, yeah.
Mr. Hansel said when he woke up from his coma, he felt healed of his ailments and felt total forgiveness for those who'd done him wrong. He said he had an epiphany. Dirty get.
You're not allowed to do that. He got CCTV to avoid you doing that.
And then it took dying for him to understand religion. In a video posted on his TikTok account, which has more than 90,000 followers, yeah. Not that he's counting, he admitted that he does not know everything about the afterlife.
Oh.
He said, most people who've had NDAs, or near-death experiences,
yes.
bring back what we need to bring back in order to help us through this life.
Mr. Hansel said, it's really quite a cool experience, but also difficult. What you believe in this lifetime is pretty much going to be what you see when you leave here. Oh, God, that's a shame for anyone who lives in Carshalton, isn't it? Fucking hell. Eventually, we all go to the exact same place. Now, as I say, we have dealt with this before, haven't
yeah.
we? Where people... There was a guy who wanted heaven to be like Torquay, and he got up there, and sure enough, it was. And he went up... Remember the Sailor's Inn he went to, and it had no booze in it? That's what
yeah.
he'd like!
Oh, God.
Where do you think you'd feel most comfortable?
Me?
Ooh. Yeah, if there was a place you had to go to for all eternity. And bear in mind, it would have to be all eternity, so it'd have to be something going on there.
Yeah. Although, you don't want it going on too much. Can you get a headache? Can you get heavenly headaches?
You're talking about eternity, my love.
All right, well, Black Orchid, 1994, Nottingham.
What is that?
That's where we used to go dancing. Or Nottingham Rock City. Has it still got the sticky floors? We won't care. We'll be floating above them.
Oh, that would be lovely,
yeah.
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to be, like, 18 again. I don't want to be an old lady in there. I feel old enough in my 40s.
Yeah, I remember going to a lovely nightclub in Leicester, the Bear Cage, and I touched Jill Payne's bum.
Wow.
So, I don't know whether I want to do that for all eternity.
Well, neither would she, probably.
She'd probably say, can you stop touching that now? That's been 50 years. Stop doing that.
It'll fall off. Carry on like that.
Fall off like that. Not thought about her bum for a long time. Anyway,
now we're both thinking about it. Only one of us knows her.
Absolutely. Anyway, I think, well, I'll tell you what I'd like to be. Do you know what I like? I do like a steam room.
Oh.
When I go on my, when I go around the country
yeah.
a fair bit doing my sacred readings and stuff, I often stay, I mean, when I can stay at a nice hotel with a nice steam room.
Right, yeah.
I like that. I'd like to spend some time cocooned in a steam room.
Do you find it does wonders for your chakras? Does it open them up for you?
It does a lot for my skin,
yeah.
is what I find.
Because Gwyneth Paltrow steams her, famously, doesn't she? Steams her lady lettuce.
She doesn't.
She does.
What do you mean?
That's how she cleans it, yeah.
Steams it?
I don't
it?
Think she uses like a karcher or...
What?
She stood over a kettle.
Stood over the stove. Stood over the stove with a colander.
I imagine she's got an expensive device made out of, I don't know, rose quartz or something. But similar, I'd imagine.
Vagiway. What does she... Really?
Yeah.
I've heard of steaming your veg, not your vag. That's bloody disgusting.
Well, apparently clean as a whistle, smells like a candle.
You can eat your dinner off it, that thing. Bloody hell, really?
Yeah.
But I don't mind the steam. I mean, I do think it is good for you. I'm not saying I'm steaming all my private parts. The only thing I don't like is, when I went on that cruise recently, if you don't pay for the private version, there's a public one, which has virtually got a strip light in it, and you might as well have some old bag there with a steam in a kettle.
Yeah.
I like it nice. I like it done properly.
You want ambience. Don't you?
You want ambience, that's it. But I find with any of those health clubs which I go to when I stay in a hotel, the worst thing for that is if you're stuck in a jacuzzi with a big fat businessman or some gossiping ladies, because quite often, as you call it, bum soup, but quite often your feet touch.
Hey!
You think, I don't want to
that's
talk.
Quite an intimate thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Feet touching. It can be quite nice if you're snuggling up with someone you like.
Not if it's a flipping double glazing salesman.
No, keep those grippers away.
Oh, it's horrible. But so that's what I'd like to be in a lovely steam room.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice bit of whale music.
Oh, that sounds nice. I can imagine in heaven, though, if we go in there, it would be like, you know, he talks about his marble pub. A nice big marble.
Yes.
Like is it called a hammam?
Oh, I've had a...
Without the beating up.
Oh, I do like a hammam. That's what I'd like. I'd like to spend some time in a hammam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, listen, last week I did a gig with Aideen McQueen, who is a wonderful Irish comedian. You don't say comedian, you say comic, because I was told the other day by Susan Murray.
Yeah, and you say that inside your head.
What?
That part about don't say comedian.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. You know, they're like ladies nowadays. Very bossy in terms of what you can and cannot say, including this lovely little lady here to me, right? She's a lovely thing. Right, listen, last week I did a gig with Aideen McQueen in Harlow. Never met her before, a wonderful comic, and I, out the kindness of my heart, ended up giving her a lift all the way home. I shouldn't have said that out loud either, should I? Anyway, this is her, Aideen McQueen. I'm here driving. I'm currently driving in my Nissan Qashqai back from a performance I was giving to my sacred reading night in Harlow in Essex in a brewery. Often you find these brewery gigs, they're going, oh, isn't it perfect for a gig? And you think, yeah, but it is still a brewery. What's perfect for a gig? It's an actual theatre with a proper stage. The lovely dulcet tones of the beautiful Aideen McQueen.
Hello there, thank you for having me in your car.
Oh, that's all right, my love. Now, Aideen is a believer, you'll be glad to know, and she's got a very spooky story she wants to share with us tonight. In the studio, please, Linda, put on the spooky music. Aideen, the floor is yours.
I found myself very, 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 very obsessed by the idea that I might be possessed by the devil when I was a child.
Right, okay.
So I used to have a little Bible that I would sleep with in my bed, and I used to bless myself, I would say maybe 100 times a night.
Right.
And
is this a common thing in Ireland?
I think it might be a little bit more common than in any other country, because we were quite brainwashed by the Catholic Church. I would find it hard to sleep, and I would bless myself a lot and say prayers, and if a bad thought came into my mind, I'd have to really push it out.
Right.
But the big fear was that ghosts would be there, because my father was a big believer in ghosts.
Right.
And he would tell us ghost stories all the time around the fire.
Bloody hell.
Yes, my father, you see, had to train to be a priest many years ago. Now, obviously he wasn't a priest when I knew him, like, you know, he was smart.
No, yeah, that
yeah. He got out of priest, I'm going to say the whatever polytechnic they taught priesthood in, but it's a seminary. But in the seminary, there were some rooms where the priests could not go.
Right.
They weren't allowed to go because those rooms had been possessed by the devil. And there was one particular room that nobody could enter. And they needed that room for priests because at the time when my dad was training in the 60s, it was really popular. And my father said that one night, one of the priests went into the room, a young man, because you need two exorcists in every parish or in every diocese, right? An older one and a younger one.
Yes.
And the younger one kind of did the legwork because it's physically draining to do an exorcism.
Right. Yes.
So they sent this young priest.
You don't have to tell me I've done them. I've done them. Yeah, sorry. Go on. Yeah. Go on.
Oh, that's why you're okay.
That's why I'm so physically fit.
Oh, I understand.
That's why I keep myself pristine. Go on.
That is amazing. I'd love to see the YouTube video of, like, to keep yourself slim with exorcism. Very good.
I do.
I always wondered, I always said, that man eats like a pig. Yeah. How does he do it? But it's keeping... with the exorcism. So that's a tip for everybody if you want to lose that last £10 for your holidays.
Yeah.
Go to a ghost train and try to strike the shite out of them.
Yes.
So anyway, so this priest that he knew, a young priest who was a few years ahead of him in the college, he went into this room and all night the devil tried to try every trick of the book with him, everything, absolutely everything he could. And finally, this priest got the best of the devil. And I said to my father, how did you know this happened? And he said, the night he went in, his hair was jet black. And when he came out of the room the next day, his hair was white as snow.
And
is that what happened to you?
Well, that's very much so. I used to have long blonde hair, I look like Cher. But now, honestly, that sounds like the sort of story you might read in some kind of Edgar Allan Poe book. But was it true? Your dad was not saying that to shit you up. It was
perhaps now I should ask my father.
Yeah.
But when I was a teenager, I believed all of this.
What sorts of tricks did the devil try?
Well, the devil would try.
Did he confiscate his Grecian 2000? Go on.
Yeah, that's a lot of what he did, was get rid of any kind of black substances, boot polish, the likes of. Devil is not high tech.
The devil is hiding your hair.
I can't imagine. I knew my father said that the devil was tempting him. Now, at the time, I didn't question what that meant. He was probably putting out a few Kit Kats or maybe a wagon wheel in front of him. Maybe a marathon bar, as they were known in the 60s.
That's right.
Or a can of fizzy pop.
That's it. Couldn't it?
I feel like now in my adult life, temptation is takes on another level than
what
just sweets.
What could it be? Drugs, sex,
drugs,
booze.
Maybe booze. Well, Catholics, booze is practically compulsory, let's face it.
That's true.
Would be a temptation. Should they drink booze in the mass?
That's right, yeah.
Other religions, it's frowned upon. In Catholicism, frowned upon if you don't drink. Drugs, were there drugs in Ireland in the 60s? Maybe horse tranquilizers.
Yeah, I just wonder what the temptation is. Or does the devil...
What does the priest specifically not be able to do?
Well,
Clint,
I think it's making love, isn't it?
It is making love.
That's right.
Yeah,
I use the term euphemistically. So maybe paraded a load of ladies in front of
ladies,
him.
Or maybe men.
Who knows? Well, Aideen, look, before you go, just quickly tell anyone where they can see you.
Okay, you can see, go to my Instagram at Aideen McQueen. Very few ghost stories, more stories about being ghosted by men. I will be in tomorrow, Friday, I'll be in the Raven. Oh, that's tomorrow, that might be a bit too early.
That's too early.
Yeah, and then I'm off on holidays for 10 days, so see you suckers. And go
all
to
right,
Lanzarote.
Don't worry, I will let everyone know when you're next on. Maybe you'll be on with me again soon.
Hopefully.
I hope so. All right, that's Aideen McQueen there. Thank you so much. Spooky, I think you'll agree. This week, well, in most weeks, I receive the 14 times, right, which I thought would be quite a good you know, something to draw from. Do you, know, do you know what I mean?
It's for slightly more scientific than your chat mags.
Oh, it's too intellectual for this lot listening. Jesus Christ, it's stupid, a lot of the people.
But, again, that's something you should
Oh, sorry. In the latest edition, right, sorry, 90 years, you know, it's 90 years since the first photographic sighting of Loch Ness Monster, which I feel falls within the remit of this podcast.
Right.
And I've got to tell you something. I don't know whether... Have I ever told you the story on this podcast before?
Of the Loch Ness Monster?
No. Some years ago, this is true, a lady friend of mine said, do I want to come to a talk? And she had a friend of a friend who was a member of the Royal Geographic Society.
Right.
To come and hear Nicholas Witchell talking about... Don't roll your eyes. Nicholas Witchell, the Royal...
Oh, a dreadful man.
Famously, Prince Charles said that about in the cloisters or something.
With a live mic.
Ugh, this a bloody hate
God
that
bear
man.
Him.
So anyway, we went off to see Nick Switchell, and it was a talk about Loch Ness. Now, me and this lady friend, equally as thick as I am, were thinking, great, monster talk. We sat down there, and he starts the thing by going, you know, obviously, you know, there are some people who believe there's a monster in there, and everyone sort of laughed. And I was going, yeah? Isn't that what we're here for? And it was a 2-hour conversation.
About what?
Flora and fauna.
That!
God, I'm thinking, come on, and the monster. Yeah, all right. I don't want to hear about that. You know? Oh, my God, it was dry. It was so boring. But the fact that everyone had laughed that someone could even think there was a monster.
You couldn't leave.
I was thinking, well, if we're not having the monster, I'm off. I'll get down to Kingdom of Sweets and, you know, get down to, you know, Piccadilly Circus, see Ripley's Believe It or Not. Something, you know, which is more akin to my level of intelligence. But bloody, how did I get onto that? Anyway, the point is that I want to get more Chat It's Fate magazines discontinued.
Yeah.
And I went on eBay and there's someone who was selling 70 of them. I looked it up. Yeah, no word of
I brought you a massive load of
yes.
them. It turns out, what, so this person is selling them online and,
well,
and they're going?
That's what I thought until I saw this, right? Here we go. Where is it? Here we go. Chat It's Fate magazine, discontinued, as we know, it's discontinued.
Yeah.
I have 70 Chat It's Fate magazines throughout the years of 2018 to 2021. As I'm sure you can appreciate, I cannot out, he meant cut out, every single article, picture on here. But if you have a certain year preference, please let me know and I will send out an article. $11.99 for him to cut out an article and send it in the bloody post.
Cheeky sod.
The magazine's articles in the photo may not be available as I've had many sales this past month. So please just message me what year if you want, or I will just send a surprise article out. So you could pay this man $11.99 and he'll cut out an article from this shit sheet and say... I mean, some people have got some front, haven't they?
I'd really be interested to know if he gets any takers.
Well, I assume that people want an individual... Unless it's you who appeared in the magazine, you want
You'd
him to
have your own copy, surely.
Well, you would think so. But honestly, there's some chances, aren't there?
I just had a little brainwave for your merch.
Yes.
We could do a similar thing and make him into, like... I know, silly, but...
Go on.
And it would be just for decorative purposes, obviously, for our audience.
Yes.
But bookmarks.
Would you people be interested in
bookmarks?
What do you mean?
Well, we could have like a Sandra Moss's face on it.
Oh, actually, we just cut it out.
Laminate it.
Fuck the laminate. Just send it in the post.
We can stick it on, I don't know, you know, like in your tights, you get a little bit of square, like cardboard.
Gusset. Oh, sorry.
Cardboard.
Oh, yes.
Holding your tights in the packet. I've got loads of them.
Would you like us to do that?
I could get me sticky, pretty stick out.
Your sticky tights out. Listen, you know, if you want us to do that and you want to send $11.99, it wouldn't take much to, rip that
have
up.
Have
that one.
There you go, that's a good bookmark. What does that one say? Surprise.
Surprise.
And was frustrated that I couldn't help him as I was very young and didn't know how to properly channel my powers.
Exactly. Unfortunately, that was the article I was just about to read out. So never mind. So that's my point. Okay, let's get on.
Flipping. Chat is a scam.
Let's get into Chat It's Fate, Man in the Mirror. Spooky music, please. Linda.
An evil poltergeist tried to kill me, screams Karen Hillier, 51, from Brighton. Sitting around on the carpet surrounded by empty boxes, I giggled with my housemates Bob and Nick. We'd just moved into a rented three-bed house together and it had dawned on us that we had no kitchen things at all, not even a kettle to make a cup of tea. But we were in our early 20s, so that didn't matter. No, we had our freedom, our independence, and that was brilliant. As the weeks went by, we acquired saucepans, plates and cutlery. Acquired. Now, when I used to say I acquired things, it'd be like glasses from the pub.
That's it.
How'd you nick up saucepans?
Well, you're not like students. They pick up all this old junk. But we had such a laugh living together, just the three of us. But there was something that niggled me. Whenever I was alone in the flat, I felt, well, strange. There seemed to be a dark, sad, somber energy, as if the house didn't want me there.
Oh my fucking God.
Odd things happened. I'd put my keys down on the side table, go back to get them, and they'd have vanished. After hunting high and low, I finally found them on the other side of the flat. On another occasion, the same thing happened with a framed picture. It vanished from my room and turned up in the kitchen. One day I was alone in the flat when I went into a room and stopped dead. I could hear a sighing noise, and it wasn't me making it. Who's there? I stammered, looking around me. There was no one there. Then I felt it. Breath on the back of my neck.
Seen a ghost up my tanner.
There was also a strong, pungent smell of sulphur.
If a ghost comes up to me and says, I'm real.
I was pretty freaked out. I told Nick and Bob what had happened, and they felt things too in the house, but not as strongly as I did. Not long after that, I was alone in the flat having a shower before I got ready to go out. The bathroom was steamed up, so I wiped the mirror and saw Gwyneth Paltrow sat legs akimbo. Oh, no. I wiped the mirror and to do my hair, and my stomach lurched.
A man's face was peering at me from the mirror.
Oh, Christ!
Old and wrinkled, he had a nasty glint in his eye. What do you want? I cried, but he vanished. The same thing happened the next day, but this time the man in the mirror didn't immediately vanish.
Ugh.
He held my gaze, looking angry, aggressive, even mocking. Terrified, I ran into my bedroom and collapsed in tears. What the hell was going on? Was I going mad? After this, things escalated quickly. The ghost, or whatever it was, in the flat no longer targeted me. He went about his haunting business when the boys were there too.
Oh.
We'd put our crockery away at night, only to find it had reappeared all stacked up within seconds.
Well, I don't believe that. Bloody students never do that,
yeah, exactly.
Do they?
We put the chairs under the table, then find them stacked together.
I'd tidy up, and moments later, my room would be a mess again. If cutlery was put in the drawer, we'd find it all tossed haphazardly across the table. Then one day, we came downstairs, and a colander flew at my head. I heard an old man's voice saying, "Slogs, slogs." Well, that sounds like the Enfield poltergeist. Logs! I looked down the floor. Oh, this is horrible, this. Get this. I looked down the floor and sure enough, there were hundreds of slugs all over the kitchen floor. Bob and Nick were all as horrified as I was. We all agreed this had to stop. We just didn't know how. One evening, we were playing some music when Bob came stomping out the kitchen.
There was something strange about his eyes. Peering at him, I realised the whites had turned red. Bob, I stammered. My name is Michael, he said harshly. He didn't sound like Bob. He had a different accent.
All right, can you just stop taking the piss out of it?
What? I'm trying to get into the dramatic bullshit of it.
Just a minute, Linda. That is scary. What? Turn that off a second. One, slugs all over the floor. Secondly, a man bloody well possessed.
Student houses, not unusual for slugs around the floor or someone to go in the kitchen and come out with a different face on.
Yeah. My name is Michael, he said.
My name is Michael.
My name is Michael.
I felt my throat go dry. I glanced at Nick, who looked terrified. He's been possessed, I cried. Bob, I'm doing it now. Bob came for me. He lunged at me, his hands grasping for my neck, his red eyes full of rage. I ran to the door, but it locked itself in front of me. Come upstairs, Nick cried. We bounded upstairs and locked ourselves in Nick's room. He had a Bible on his windowsill.
We started reciting the Lord's Prayer loudly, and we could hear Bob outside, but as we continued the prayer, we heard his footsteps ebb away. We stayed there all night, terrified. Next morning, Bob couldn't remember anything, but I was so frightened that I stepped on my office floor that night.
Right, and now there's the bit that I ripped out that I'm trying to put there. A few days later, a canon from the church came. I feel that, with Bobby Ball, I feel a dark presence, he told us. This Michael wants to kill someone in this house and he's latched onto someone. Don't get too technical. Then he looked straight at me. I gulped. I knew it was me he'd been after all along. I'd always been connected to spirit and had clairvoyant powers. The canon said this was why Michael had singled me out. He sensed my gift and was frustrated I couldn't help him, as I was very young and didn't know how to properly.
Oh, it's just a breakdown in communication then, is it?
Absolutely. It was a wake-up call for me. I joined a spiritualist church where I learnt to channel my gift and get rid of nasty spirits. However, I trained myself to do most spiritualist work as I was already gifted.
Years later, I am a professional medium and work full-time doing psychic readings. It took years to get over what happened, but I suppose I have to thank Michael the Poltergeist in a way. He forced me to hone my psychic gift and made me the medium I am today. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Do you know what this is?
What?
Why is she taking on his shit?
Well,
I have to thank him for being awful and trying to kill me.
Typical, isn't it? Yeah.
No, it was my fault for not being able to communicate with him properly.
Also, I would imagine in a student house like that, the one woman there, she's the one who kept putting things away. You make you wonder, they didn't do anything about the slugs. She's putting all the crockery away, putting the cutlery away. Do you see blokes? Bloke student doing that?
No, not without some very, very strongly worded post-it notes.
I think that really it's the blokes dicking her around in that,
don't you? Yeah.
I really do.
So one of the housemates got her to stay in his room all night long.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I think that's ridiculous.
Someone could be pulling a string somewhere.
Right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, look, this is very important. We've got to speak to someone. We've got 5 minutes to speak to them. But I'd want to deal with this is the letter they sent in. It's the one and only Matt Stanley. And he has sent in a couple of very spooky happenings. If you would please, Linda.
I was told a story back in the late 90s which happened to a good friend of mine. Oh, yeah, goes to a different school, maybe in Canada. Who used to cycle around Calderstones Park in Liverpool quite often. Around the side of the park, close to the main road, while cycling one day, he saw a couple walking, so went on the grass to avoid them. Just as he passed them, he realised they had Victorian clothes on. The man had a top hat and a suit, and the lady wore a Victorian-era dress on. Oh.
A man had a top hat. The lady wore a Victorian-era dress on.
Yeah.
Can you write properly, Matt, please? Being a bit taken back, straight away, he looked back towards them, but they had disappeared in thin air and nowhere for them to go at that point. Are you... Seconds later, all he could hear then was the sound of flowing tracking, he meant traffic, off the main road. He claimed it was like he had gone in some sort of brief time slip. Nice. No explanation, broad daylight, and they were so vivid. Since then, a number of people over the years since then have had similar experiences since then in that very area. They are in a time slip. Yes, she said that. There is a few areas in Liverpool that claim to have time slips, Bold Street being the most documented for it.
Hey, I'm going to Liverpool this weekend. Maybe I should go and have a little time slip.
Calderston Park in Liverpool.
All right.
Time slip. Look at some of the fashions there. You might think you are in a bit of time slip. Now, then he sent me this one. That one was badly written, agreed. He then sent me this one. Had to get a reminder from my mum today for this one, but hand on heart, it genuinely spooked my dad out because before it, he wasn't really into ghosts and things, but could never explain this.
Back in the late 70s, just after I was born, we all moved house. Next to the stairs going up the next floor was a utility room where the washing machine, etc. was. Not long after moving, my mum was sorting washing out in this room and just happened to turn her head towards the stairs only to see what looked like an old woman going up them.
Now, she told my dad, and dad at the time wasn't into anything like ghosts and stuff and made a bit of fun out of it until he was in this utility room one day and thought he saw the same thing as my mum. During the coming months of being there, they both saw, or thought they'd saw, this old woman on a few more occasions heading up the stairs. Now, mine and my brother's room was upstairs, and one day my dad went up there, and soon as he opened the door, he thought he could smell like someone had smoked a pipe in there. Obviously, not my brother, who was only 5 or 6, or me as a baby at the time.
My dad had enough and went to see the local priest nearby, who agreed to come to house and bless it.
Come to house and bless it.
Which he did. However, he said to my mum and dad that the previous residents were an elderly couple and the man had died, who he knew from going to the church and did indeed smoke a pipe.
Right.
What the old lady was doing going up the stairs, who knows? I don't know, maybe going up the stairs? Maybe going to see him.
She's a ghost, though. There's no women living in, no old lady living in the house.
But one thing's for sure, we did in fact, one word, move to another house swiftly.
But one thing's for sure, we did in fact move to another house swiftly. It's from Matt Stanley. Let's get the bloke on the phone now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We have got Matt Stanley here now. Hello, Matt. Where are you ringing from?
Hello, Clinton. I'm from Liverpool, Formby way. So
from Formby in Liverpool. Yes, very well, thank you. It's looking lovely. We got the benefit. We can see Matt there.
Yeah.
And he reminded me that I do need some furniture for my office.
Lovely storage.
Did you put it up yourself, Matt?
I tried my best. Yeah. IKEA it is.
Well, that's what I want. That's what made me think. If IKEA are listening, we'd very much like to have more office furniture.
You could be an influencer, couldn't you? A storage influencer.
I could be a storage influencer. We could say one of them's haunted or something, couldn't we?
Haunted box.
Well, don't worry. You can have some treatment for that. Let's get on with the show. Matt, could you please put the spooky music on. And Matt, please, we've been through the story. Could it be a possibility that someone, this fella who lived in the house, who smoked a pipe, there's just the residual smell of a bleeding pipe, is it not?
Yeah, it drips out the wall sometimes.
It could do, couldn't it? I'm playing devil's advocate, Matt, but I've got to cover all the bases. Do you understand? Is there no way it was just the smell of this bloke's smelly pipe?
Definitely not, apparently. No one wants a smelly pipe, do they? So, you know, this is...
Oh, come on, we raise it. We're laughing about someone's smelly pipe now. That's disgusting. Come on. Matt.
The old man's smelly pipe and all.
Oh, I know. Come on,
Nothing worse is the...
Come on.
Happens to us all.
All right, that's right. No more smelly pipe talk, please. All I'm saying is that, you know, there could have been someone there with a bit of ready rub who was, you know... you've seen people, haven't you? Old ladies, they sit in a chair. Yeah. Above them, there's all that sort of nicotine. You've seen it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm suggesting is in the walls of this house.
Yeah. You never know, do you? We never know. But
you've convinced him.
Because all I know is when I go up and down the country doing my readings, I've already mentioned going to stay in various hotels. What often happens is, well, not often, but sometimes I go into it and there's a smell of, slight smell of cigarette
smelly
smoke.
Smelly pipe, yes.
Of a smelly pipe. Someone's had a smelly pipe in there, right? They're smoking. You know what I mean? Someone's had a curry in there from Deliveroo or something the night before.
Or Deliverpoo, isn't it?
Matt, leave the jokes. The thing is, you know, surely, isn't that just someone being in there, you know, in times past? I mean, what have you, when you go into a hotel room, you must have smelled sick.
Oh, my God, I went to stay at a place once.
Yeah.
Me and my sister were told we were going to go and be staying at, we were going to see Take That in London.
Right. And I remember you saying about this, and you end up in Luton or something, didn't you?
Yeah, we were promised a luxury London hotel, all included with the coach fare and everything. Yeah. We ended up in bloody Luton. And honestly, that bed, I lay down on the bed and I could smell the previous occupant's breath on the pillow.
Disgusting. I go up and down the country, and sometimes the venue pays for my hotel, and quite often it is a travel lodge.
Budget, is it?
It's budget. It's sometimes the Premier Inn, which is the premier hotel that one can stay at. But very often, if it's very busy over a weekend, I'm often there at weekends. The hotel is so full, I often stay in room for disabled people. So quite often, the bath is very, very shallow. I don't know why it's very, very shallow. Now,
well, for ease of insertion, probably.
Something like that.
So you can get in and out.
Well, exactly. What happens is my undercarriage, clean as a whistle, sat in a little pool of, you know, Radox.
Yeah.
But the rest of me is dry as a bone. That is what I don't like about those hotel rooms. That is my most appalling thing. Or if there's some pubic hairs on the side.
Oh, my God, right. Four in a bed, you'd easily take...
Back you with a minute,
30% of that at the end, and there'd be, like, some sort of uproar. Can you justify that? Yes, I can. Yeah. There was a pube under me pillow. Did you see that one where they went to stay at a nudist colony? And someone said, oh, why don't you pull the wardrobe out? Like, it wasn't the production company,
go on,
right?
Yeah.
Porno DVD back there, which is old school in itself now, isn't
really?
It?
Really?
So, yeah. So, sometimes you can get an... it's like Time Team, but disgusting. Like, more recent, and you can find out exactly what people have been up to.
Sometimes I find that I don't like walking in bare feet on the carpet. I feel like Howard Hughes. I want to put down newspaper to walk on from the bathroom.
Also, don't ever use that. You know, they sometimes put a bedspread over in places.
Go on.
Don't ever.
Why? Because it's never cleaned, is it?
Well, they don't move that. They just move the duvet, don't they?
Oh, crikey. Matt, I don't feel you've done the story justice. Is there anything you can throw in at the end?
Well, going back to the pipe smoking, the smelly pipe, the old man's smelly pipe.
Yeah.
Apparently, cut long story short, my dad was a bit of a poo-pooer with this type of stuff.
Right.
He did get the vicar to come, or the priest to come round, you know, to check this out.
Yeah.
And apparently the guy did have a smelly pipe.
Matt, we know... Right, we know that, right? But that's less...
Did he die of the smelly pipe, do we know?
Jesus Christ, lay off your smelly pipe! Matt, the vicar's talents stretch to knowing who his congregation are, not any particularly, you know, paranormal skills. I'm playing devil's advocate. I want you to offer me up some sort of proof.
He might have stunk up Pew too.
He did. Pew too. Matt, you're looking at a crib sheet. What else did you want to tell us?
Well, there was a lady as well. There was a lady that was in.
Right, okay,
this house
now here we go.
Well.
Go on.
So here we go. So I think there's a bit of a backstory to it. So basically, this was back in the late 70s.
Yeah.
So this was like when I was just born. So we've just moved into this house.
Yes.
And there's like a little utility room that was like next to a set of stairs.
Yeah.
So what used to happen, apparently, was my mum used to see like a lady going up the stairs. Okay.
Matt, I'm gonna stop you there. We've just read out this story, Matt. We've done it. We've done the story, Matt. We've done it.
Do we know anything about her?
What are you going to... Are you telling us more, or are you just going to repeat what we've already done?
No, apparently there's a bit more.
Okay. Go on. Sorry.
Patience.
Sorry, Matt.
No.
Jesus Christ, spit it out.
She used to go up the stairs into the smelly pipe room. And we don't know why. We don't know why, but...
It's a game to open a bloody window.
Well, Matt... Thank you very much. That has been most eye-opening. Yeah. It was.
If you're listening to this now, we can play the Clinton Baptiste drinking game. Every time someone says smelly pipe, you'd be absolutely trolled by now.
Matt, what have you got to do now? Look at someone's hard drive. What? Try and make it interesting.
Just turn something on and off again. Mess around with some cables.
Okay, wonderful. Like Matt that. Stanley, please, if anyone wants to use your organisation, what are they called?
They're now Concentrics now. So, yeah. They've...
Concentrics?
Concentrics.
The emphasis on con.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Careful. Matt Stanley Evans, lots of love to you. Thank you very much for joining in.
Thanks for having us.
Any more ghost stories, please don't send them here. But thank you so much and good luck with everything. I can't help noticing you've got a foot up. Why is your foot up here, Matt, before we go? Just tell me, what's going on here?
It's a bit of an incident at the weekend, Clinton.
Will it be amusing, Matt? Because it's a 4 out of 10 so far, mate.
Not amusing to me, but...
Well, go on then. We'll delete this later. Go on, what happened?
I was in the card shop at the weekend.
Card shop. Yeah.
One that was named after yourself. So we can drop it in if you want. Yeah.
Okay.
Minding my own business, and there was a lady in there with a dog with a high-vis vest on.
The dog had a high-vis vest on. She blind, was she, or something?
No, this one was a different. It had assistance dog written on the vest.
Okay, right. Assistance dog. Yeah.
It's like trotting about in the shop. I'm minding my own business, looking at cards and things. Next minute, it stands on my toe. And I think it's potentially broken.
Well, how big was this bloody dog?
Same
how
size.
Big was it?
Do you know that film, Canine? It was one of those dogs. It was bloody massive. Honestly, it was huge. The paws on it were like something out of Jurassic Park. I'm not even kidding.
And so, ironically, this is supposed to help people who have sort of needs, and it's now rendered you out of action.
Yeah, basically, yeah, it broke my toe. But what happened was, when it did stunt, no, you go, ow, because it really hurts.
Yeah.
I reached out, and I was about to touch the dog.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, just touch it like.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, don't be stroking the dog. It's working. That's what he said to me, honestly.
Working? What?
It's working. And
really?
I was like, yeah, it's working hard. It's just bust me toe. Bloody so,
hell.
You know.
I'd have pushed her over the bleeding.
So no breakdancing, no football.
What's happening? Metatarsal, is it?
I think it is, yeah. That same thing that Beckham had.
Yeah. Well, you know? Do you remember what they did in the sun? You could hover your hands over David Beckham's metatarsal to get it better. Stick that foot up, Matt.
I will do.
Now, I'm going to put it here. I'm going to reach it out over Zoom. My healing hands.
You do know I'm not fit anymore.
Christ, that has swelled right up, hasn't it?
Yeah, like this left shoe, this is a size 11, and the other one's only a size 8, so, you know...
Okay, Matt. Well, I think we've done the dog now. I'm going to say thank you very, very much. Keep your smelly pipe to yourself. And thank you. Best of luck to you, mate. And don't go to any card shops, all right?
I won't. Thank you very much anyway.
All right. Lots of love. Lots of love, Matt. Bye-bye.
Take care. Cheers. Bye.
Well... Erskine Court has been a very happy place for a number of residents.
Yeah.
But you know, of course, Ruth Abbott has moved in to number 6. And this is what transpired this week. What is it?
The toilet's blocked, Clinton.
That's not my problem.
You're in charge. You have to come and unblock my toilet.
Yes, I am only the chairman of the Residents Association. It is not my responsibility. You need to speak to the landlord, right? You need to speak to Evesham Properties, please.
I think it must be Mrs. Stewart that's blocked my toilet, though, so you'll have to come and speak to her.
Mrs. Stewart is dead. The ghost of Mrs. Stewart has blocked your toilet, has she?
She's done a big poo.
Right. Mrs. Stewart has not done a poo in your... Mrs. Stewart died. There's no ghost. There's no ghost of Mrs. Stewart, and there's no Mrs. Ghost of Stewart's faeces blocking your toilet.
She did it there in my toilet. Listen. I asked her not to, but she just sat there and looked at me while she was doing it, looked me right in the eye and did a bit.
Right, OK. Ruth, I haven't got time for this. The fact is, we do have a problem with wet wipes being flushed down the toilet. If anything, it's Mrs. Harding just below you, right? She's blocked the stack pipe, OK? Now, we're trying to sort that out. You'll have to take it up with Irene downstairs from you, right? OK, so if you could just go and speak to her. We're trying to sort it out with Evesham Properties at the moment, all right? But there's no ghost poos. There's no Mrs. Stewart singing Michael fucking Bublé on the toilet. So kindly sort it out yourself, because it's not really my responsibility, all right?
She wasn't singing Michael Bublé on the toilet. She was just quiet.
Forget Michael Bublé. Forget Bublé. Forget it. It's nothing to do with Mrs. Stewart or me. Please go and speak to Irene. And if you've got a problem, speak to Evesham Properties, please.
Will you speak to Irene? In fact, will you come with me to speak to Irene and then come with me to Evesham Properties, please?
I'll come with you to Evesham. I'll go and speak to Irene and I'll come with you to Evesham Properties. Last week, I was in Manchester.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where you hail from, isn't it, my love?
It is.
Yeah. Well, I was up in Ancoats. You know Ancoats, the Northern Quarter.
Northern Quarter, very smart now.
Well, you funny you should say that, Linda, because a little bit of an adventure happening now, because I did a gig. I'm not going to name the pub because people think I'm referring to that as a rough house. It's not a rough house, but the Oldham Road is a bit of a rough house up in Ancoats. And I was with a wonderful comedian called Mike Milligan, right? And this is what happened.
You join me at Gulliver's in Manchester in Oldham Street, where I'm about to give one of my sacred readings. And coming on before me is, well, we've gigged together an awful lot on tours and stuff. It's Mike Milligan. Hi, Mike.
Hello, lovely man. How are you?
Oh, isn't that lovely? It's so wonderful to see you. But the listeners don't want to hear all this bullshit. Let's get on with the spooky.
Well, one of my mates, in Hexham, where I live, it's a town about 20, a very nice Northumberland market town about 20 miles outside Newcastle.
Yeah.
I'm not from there, I'm gated scum.
Right,
but I've bettered myself with my missus, so I live out there now in an attempt at bourgeoisement.
Yes.
And sociological term, which
we're
talking
about. Well, you're wearing shoes now for a kid, so that's something, isn't it?
But this is actually true. This is a truey, Mr. Baptiste, a truey.
Yeah.
There was a, so lives there, there's a building which used to be a workhouse, which wasn't a very nice place in Victorian times.
Yes.
Obviously, we'll bring them back when the Tories, if they
right,
had their own way. Yeah.
And won't be long, so we'll have to pay to go there, probably.
And before then, it was a lunatic asylum. I don't think you say lunatic, but I'm using historical terms, so please don't cancel me.
No.
That's what it was called in its historical
a
term.
A not job, yeah. Go on.
And it was reopened about a decade ago.
There's a fucking fight going on outside now. Hold on.
Have something up.
Yeah, it's a bit of a rough house round here in Oldham Street.
It's vibrant, I think.
Yeah, okay. Carry on, mate.
Yeah, I'm now quite shaken because I've had a flashback. I'm talking like you now. Why have I done the curtain? This part of Manchester, yeah, a famous comedian whose name I won't mention once got held up at knife point, yeah. But anyway...
Held up at knife point, ladies and gentlemen. That, this is what I go through to give entertainment to you lot.
I'll be using my ex-army Northern Ireland skills to get back to the car after this gig. Anyway, so there used to be a lunatic asylum and it used to be a workhouse. Not nice vibes, shall we say, not nice vibes. Mm. But they reopened as a therapy centre, and that's the type of people I'm not wrong with now. One of my mates was a hypnotherapist, and he, they gave them each their own little room, and they did it up themselves. Now, my mate Martin, when he was doing up, was painting his own little therapy room. There was nobody else in the centre, and it's huge, long corridors, you know, very old building. And he used to hear knocks and bangs and whispers.
Slow down for effect, Mike. Slow
down
for
effect. And he knew the place was well weird. Well, I was going to see Martin for some therapy because I'm a mental, can't say that now.
A mental case.
A mental case.
Yeah.
and Martin wasn't there yet. So, you know, everyone, you have your favourite place to poop.
Poop.
Right, yeah. Yes, there's a good place. You've got to know places to have a dump if you get caught short.
I know.
And the therapy centre in Hexham was great because it had, like, you know, little hand towels and lavender, and it was proper posh.
That's right.
So, let me explain. There was like a vestibule, this like antechamber.
Explain, I've done it before many times, thousands of times. I know the format. Go on, yeah.
The vestibule, so two sets of doors. So you went in, you locked the door that kept the corridor out, and there was a vestibule where you were, and then you locked the bog door, so there's nobody could be in there.
Right.
So I'm sitting...
Hell. Go on,
good. So I'm sitting there on the carsy, just about to log on, and the whole door shuddered, like, bang, but... Can I explain?
You've had a ruby the night before? Go on.
But this is where it gets weird, because it was from the inside. It was almost like the door was vibrating, so the knock came from inside the door. You could see the door. Good job I was on the loo, that's all I can say.
The knock was coming from inside the door.
The door. Obviously, there's nobody could be in the vestibule because it was locked from the corridor. Before that happened, I heard a noise like... Like somebody was pushing, I can imagine, a huge Hessian basket filled with, like, washing. What? As if somebody was pushing that across the floor outside.
My God.
And after I'd heard three or four of those, like, even then I'm thinking, that can't be possible because nobody can be in the antechamber because it's locked. So I heard about three of those and then on the door, and the whole door
shut
down.
Coming from the inside?
Inside the door, yeah.
Oh.
It was like the whole door just vibrated. So luckily I was having a dump at the time because I would have shot myself anyway.
Yeah.
So... me inner Geordie, I thought, shit, it's going to be a fight here. So I opened the door and I was out, and the vestibule was silent, there was nobody there. Didn't tell anybody. Gets better. A couple of years later, I was chatting to Martin, the therapist guy. And I told him about the Hexham Poo Ghost, and he said, Christ, mate, he said, that's who sent a shiver up my neck. He said, because when I was painting the room, he said, I went downstairs for a pee in that loo.
Yeah.
He said... And I heard a noise like somebody pushing a huge bag of...
And you, had you told him about the bag?
No, I hadn't. And then he said, but I didn't hear a bang. He said, I just heard this really almost disembodied voice going, hello.
No,
that happened as well.
That's true.
No, it gets better though.
Right,
and,
okay, this is good, isn't it, folks?
Yeah, so me missus, she went there, as Luxembourg has kicked some middle class and has therapy. She was going there for some, the woman who does her back massage because she had a bad back.
I know.
And there was like, again, there was like a main waiting room where you sat. And the massage woman was said, oh, another one of the therapists is leaving because she's sick of the girl at the door, at the main door.
Right.
And Leslie heard about this, and Leslie was sitting there, your missus, and she looked at the door that came off the main road. She said there was a girl there in her early 20s, or like a hair everywhere, like distraught. She looked like feral.
Right.
Like, and she was at the door, like banging to get in. But Leslie said there was something within me thought, I'm not going to open that door. There's something not right here.
Can you just rewind? The woman had said that, and with
another
that...
therapist had been banging on about the girl at the door, and Leslie didn't know what she meant.
And then Leslie saw it.
And then Leslie was sitting, and then the girl at the door appeared.
Just after she'd heard the story?
Oh, no, it was a couple of months later. So,
and Leslie thought, hold on, there's something unearthly about this.
It wasn't right.
Yeah.
And then Leslie looked and turned away, and the girl had gone.
Bloody hell.
So, and a few people had seen this girl at the door, but she'd never let in. She all disappeared. And I think it's a lot to do with the... had a really... horrible feel about the place. They've locked it up now, and I think they're going to make it into flats. Oh. I certainly would not be buying a flat there.
Don't buy a flat in Hexham, whereabouts?
I might not say that in case there's litigation, unless you're like a ghost hunter or something, but...
Well, that was wonderful. Mike is on stage in a minute, and there will be a translation available for that story on the website.
Through a medium.
For a second, it looked like I was going to kill me there, because I was doing a rather cheap joke about the Geordies. Michael, thank you very much. That was proper good. I'm giving that 9 out of 10.
Thank you. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you.
Wow. You would have thought Mike was exaggerating about using his military training, but this is what he told me when he came back the next day to do the second night of the gig. Have a listen to this, Linda.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Do you recall during the interview with Mike Milligan the other day when suddenly halfway through there was a little bit of contretemps outside? That's rather a fancy way of discussing a load of scabby drug dealers having a fight. And Mike made a quip about, well, he can use his army training to deal with it. Briefly touched on a comedian who was held at knife point. Well, Mike's got something to tell us. We'll have some spooky music on, Linda, for different reasons. Here we go. Some hair-raising music. Go on.
Well, I can't say leader, because that's glitter-esque, isn't it?
No,
I can't say leader. How can I call you? A guru.
I'm a guru. I'm a can-do guru. A kanguru, but not a kangaroo. A can-guru.
Like a mental guru.
A mental guru.
Is it you?
Yeah, anyway, is it you? Mental guru. Go on.
Yeah, he was all right, wasn't he? Anyway. Yeah.
Stop showing your age in front of my young followers.
Well, basically, Mr. Baptiste, we were half joking about the fact it looked a tad rough outside.
That
part of Manchester has always had a reputation.
Yeah.
And I used to play the frog there 25 years ago.
That is the Frog and Bucket, yes, for any of you non-comedy people.
And it was always doing Logan's Run, trying to get up that road.
Christ.
And like we said, there were some skanky drug dealer types having a fight outside.
Yeah.
So I left to get back home after I'd done my bit.
Yeah.
And the car park I'd parked in was around the corner, out the way, a little bit secluded.
Right.
So using my long-forgotten army training,
yes,
fibula, fighting in the built-up area, plus I have to add 30 years of coming out of rough shitholes late at night, and just having a bit of awareness
having
about
having your antennae.
You get like... So outside the car park, there's these two knackers, these two scroats, just hanging around outside the car park, which you wouldn't, just wrong, red flags.
Yeah, red flags.
So in the army, back in the day, and they called them dickers in the olden days, people who hung around, like keeping lookout for dodgy reasons. So I saw these two, I thought, up to no good. And what I surmised, which it turned out to be correct, is I thought, right, they're sitting out there, and they've got a mate either inside, other side of the wall, in this car park, so they can signal to go and somebody's coming. And I could just say, because there's no other reason not to be there. And they looked a couple of wrong ones.
Yeah.
So, using my military training and my years of experience,
you immediately crawled on your belly.
I smeared dung on my face.
Yes.
And tied like a bandana.
Yeah.
And so I went around the corner and then cut straight back in to kind of catch them off guard.
Oh, okay. Brilliant.
Doubled back, lost my tail. And then I pissed up the stairs like flipping Usain Bolt. I was up the stairs, even on nearly 60.
It was like a
60.
Sort of multi-story type.
Oomph, I was up there. And I was in the car much quicker than they would have expected me.
God.
And just as I was getting in the car, there's a scroat coming up there. I'm going, hey, mate, hey.
Oh, no.
So I got in the car and I thought, right, you're going to move or you're going down, mate.
Right.
It was like Starsky and Hutch, the Quinn Martin tyres squealing.
I
was down the ramp and obviously moved out of the way. And I got out and I was away. But if I hadn't had my wits about me, it was no coincidence. They were definitely, he was part of this.
Right,
this kind of triumph of evil, these three knackers. Just listeners, just have your wits about you, because if I hadn't been squared away and organised there, I would have been rolled, I'd have been mugged.
Right. So this is the Oldham Road in Manchester, in the Northern Quarter. We're not going to name the venue we were at because they were very, very nice.
We don't want to
take away from them, but just be careful.
Yeah, it's busy gentrifying. It's a great part of town. I love Manchester, and the venues on the road are great, and they are gentrifying.
Yeah.
But there's always been an element around there, and they're still there a little bit.
There's an underbelly.
So just keep your poo together, guys, when you're there, and just think a few moves ahead.
Thank you very much, Sergeant Major, and we will be continuing on the survival section of the show next time. Michael, thank you very much.
I'm glad I'm here to tell the tale.
We are now in Huddersfield, and we're going to go on stage very, very shortly. Thank you.
Well, goodness me, what a show we've had, Linda.
We certainly have, haven't we?
Any other business? I've got a number of parish notices we need to read out. Firstly, you know that Linda and I are doing a recording of this show, aren't we?
We are, yes. I'm going to London.
Going to London.
I hope you might join us.
On the 25th of June. It's a Sunday. 6 o'clock at the doors, 7 o'clock the show starts. Go to wegottickets.com, right? It's called Clinton Baptist Sunday Seance. It's the 100 Club, 100 Oxford Street in London. I don't know if we can see if we can get Ruth along. We might get someone else along. Don't pull that face. Well, they like her.
Well, they like her, but she doesn't like me, does she?
Good point. I don't think Ruth is coming, to be fair. Also,
we are also recording this show live on September the 24th.
Yes.
And that's also at the 100 Club.
Yes.
On October 15th, you can't get enough of us.
These are both Sundays. Come on, come and enjoy it. Nice and early start.
WeGotTickets.com. Look for Clinton Baptist Sunday Seance. Take your pick. Come to all three.
Now, and this is the final thing. The final thing, flogging all me wares. I'm starting my brand new UK tour roller coaster from March 2024. Tickets are on sale now. Please go to clintonbaptiste.com for all the details. It's my first solo stand-up tour for 3 years.
I'm coming to that.
Linda will be coming to that. And if you buy tickets, I'll try and get her to come along. And for some extra money, you can come and meet her.
Oh. That will be very nice for everyone, won't it?
It'll be nice for everyone.
Anyway, no, I'm looking forward to that. I like a night out. And a Clinton show is always a good one.
Very good. So, listen, come and see us at the 100 Club. That's the most important thing. Yeah. What are you going to be doing now, Linda, when you leave?
I'm going to see an old pal of mine.
Oh!
Lunch, yeah.
Love it. An old pal of mine, a horse. What are you going to see an old pal of mine for?
She's one of the people I used to go to Sticky Floored Rock City in Nottingham with.
Oh, okay.
And we both survived. We're rock and roll survivors.
Was she at university there or something?
She's
you didn't go to university, did you?
Yes, I bloody did.
Why can't you get a job? Christ.
Because every bugger did.
What is your degree in? Just remind me.
It was in beginner's butchery, yeah.
I beg your pardon?
Beginner's butchery.
Butchery? Like meat? Seriously?
Yeah, like in meat, yeah.
Hold on, but you've now started going to zoology and all that. Bloody hell.
Nature, innit?
That's a road to Damascus. What was her degree in your friend with the sticky floors?
Oh, she was in beginner's bakery.
Take the piss now. Ladies and gentlemen, is there a lot of dough in that? Oh, she's going up in the world. Now, come on, that's enough. Did you have help from her parents? Was she self-raising?
Oh, dear.
I don't know. Anyway, that...
Between us, we had a whole meal.
Oh, nice pair of pants. Right, now that's the end of that. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just say, we want to thank you for coming and listening to this show. And we will see you next bloody week. Linda, lots of love and thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, Clinton.
Until next week, namaste! Thank you so much to Linda, Ruth, Aideen McQueen, Mike Milligan, Matt Stanley and David Brinkworth for our end music and for Glow for singing us out here. Now, don't forget, you can come and see us recording this show on Sunday the 25th of June at the 100 Club in London. Eh? Why don't you come and see it? Go to wegottickets.com and look for Clinton Baptist Sunday Seance, Sunday the 25th of June. Now, if that's sold out, there's another one on Sunday the 24th of September and Sunday the 15th of October. If you can't come to any of those, please come to my show, Roller Coaster, which is all over the country. From March 2024, tickets at clintonbaptist.com. Namaste.
Someone could be pulling a string somewhere.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yeah, right. Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading now.